Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 324, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Teach me to know thy holy way, and think upon thy deeds. In grief I ask for promised grace, according to my needs. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 324.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, and thereof chapter 4. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the preaching, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Thus far, Scripture reading.
We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Ben Van Hagenbos, who was spared in a car accident in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou who art not only our Creator, but also our provider and the sustainer of our life. And as we have heard also in this day, and that another one in our midst, a beloved father and husband and son and brother, of in our midst has been spared through a car accident. And Lord, Thou knowest his heart and all of our hearts. For Thou dost come so close unto us, to speak unto us in so many ways, through Thy word and through Thy providences. And when Thou hast spared his life, yet for what time we do not know, for we know not what a day may bring forth. As thy servant did say, there is surely but a step between me and death. Oh, give him to acknowledge thee aright, and his family together, but all of us, O Lord, O sanctify these ways to him and unto us, our hearts. They are of themselves dead. They are as hard as another millstone. But we have heard it in this morning, what thou wilt do for thy people. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. O Lord, then it becomes different in our life, but it is all from thy sight. Oh, then we cannot expect it through anything that shall come in this world upon us. For we are unable to move ourselves. But when thou wilt give us such a blessing, oh, then it shall be a turning point in the time, and also for a never-ending eternity. O Lord, does it not say also in thy word that thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them? Oh, then when we feel something of that impossibility, also in this afternoon, and when we are come into thy house of prayer, then there is none that can move his own heart. But thou dost say, I will. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, then, when thou wilt be inquired of, to do it for us, that thou may hear our supplication. Thou knowest that we have no right in ourselves. Then there is nothing that we can bring before thee that is able to merit anything in thy holy sight. And then it is that we have sinned everything away, time and time again, so that it is only right when the heavens would become as brass, and when they would be closed against our supplications. But Lord, O Thou who wilt be inquired of, and because of the work of Thy only begotten Son, in whom that Thou art so well pleased, all we ask of Thee, Lord, even in these moments, and when we are gathered in Thy house of prayer, that there may be power from on high, that there may be felt something of the presence and the power of Thy Spirit moving the waters in this afternoon hour, that it may not be but the words of men, but that it may be the Word of God which has come in this hour into the heart of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. Oh, could it please Thee to take reasons out of Thyself and to look upon us and upon our children in mercy, then from our side it shall remain the same, even to the day of our death as in the day that we have been born. Wilt Thou grant us then new life from Thy side, from alone whom it can come? And wilt Thou grant that Thy name may be glorified in the application of the work of the merits of Thy only begotten Son? O send forth then Thy Spirit, may it be even as powerful as that it was in that day of Pentecost, when so many hearts were wrought upon. Oh, that it may go forth even in, as it was in that day, and when Thy servant did speak, and when Lydia of old may hearken unto the voice of Thy servant. O Lord, that Thou wouldst hear from heaven Thy dwelling place, and wilt Thou, when Thou hearest, forgive, and wilt Thou come and bless us and our children, that Thy face, O Lord, may shine upon us, and that we would not be dealt with according to our multitude of iniquities. O make us sorrowful, show to us our sin, give to us a sorrow of heart, that may mourn for sin, that may turn from sin, that may desire to be delivered from sin, and that may need therefore Thy only begotten Son. Oh, that Thou may look upon Thy own children, Thy house, Thy day, and that is for them as it was in the life of Thy servant David. Oh, then he had no rest in his heart until that he may find out a place for the ark of the Lord. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest Thy children where that they are, even when we do not know them, when they may be here in our midst, scattered throughout this our flock. All may be hidden in this day, but a people that have a place before Thee in secret, that do not come always to a God who hearest not. O Lord, that Thou may remember each and every one of them. For where Thou plantest Thy fear, then there is a desire to come into Thy blessed communion. But there are also in the life of Thy children so many disappointments. O Lord, then it is so necessary that they be stripped of everything that they are hoping upon and looking for from their own side. And that is a way that is so difficult and a way so against their own flesh. It is not a way that is the choice of our hearts, but it is a way wherein Thou leadest all Thy people as the blind by a way that they do not know. And when in this afternoon hour there may be a cry from among them, That thou wouldst open their eyes and that thou wouldst give a token from above. A people that do say, Lord, is it thy own work in my heart? Am I thine? Art thou mine? Oh, that thou would answer them in this afternoon hour with a little token from above, with a little faith to believe, with a little sight of thee and thy only begotten Son, and what thou hast done for the most wretched and for the most miserable, and for those who have sinned against thee and cannot bring themselves again into thy communion. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Bless us indeed. Out of thy heavenly store, open those blessed windows of heaven and pour us out a spiritual blessing this hour, as thou hast showered upon us blessings in this life. Wilt thou remember all that go forth this day to bring thy word? Thy servants, the students, oh, help them from above. Give them to feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms. And remember all that are not able to be with us, her that is in the hospital yet, and those that are in their own homes, and all those that are not able to be among us. Oh, that thou wouldst remember them in their places, be with those that have no desire. Oh, what maketh us to differ? And then there are those that have been brought up under thy truth and have long left it. Oh, for the ways of sin and the ways of this world, when there are mourning fathers and mothers in our midst, wilt thou bring back as thou alone art able? And wilt thou hear their cry from heaven, thy dwelling place? And give to remember from the places where that they have wandered that word that has been brought to them in the days of their youth. Do remember where there are difficulties in marriages. Do remember where that there are addictions. Remember where that there is sorrow, mourning. Remember where there is pain and difficulty. Remember the children that do suffer in this world. Wilt thou give them the fear, the tender fear of thy name in their hearts? Look on them also in this week, when the last week of the school year is already come upon them. Wilt thou give to a finish, and wilt thou supply in all that lies before, help the instructors. Wilt thou be with our nation, the rulers, our governors in our land. O Lord, it is from our side so hopeless, but where there is no strength from our side, oh, then there is opportunity for thee to receive the honor and the glory. Oh, then we bring thy judgments upon us, and we can only say that thou art right when thou wouldst bring upon us so many judgments. Oh, to destroy us as a nation, we beseech thee, if it could please thee to turn us yet again, and to seek us out and to draw us, Lord. Oh, that thou may remember us in mercy as a nation. Bring us back to thy word and to thy everlasting testimony. Bring thy word also upon the judgment seats of this land. Look upon us also as a consistory, when we are given a place where we also must rule. Then we also must be given wisdom and faithfulness in all things. Remember us when we hope to gather in as a consistory in this week. Wilt thou give us wisdom and strength in these things? Lord, go then before us. Remember parents in the home, children. Give obedience that the children may respect the fathers and the mothers. Give wisdom unto parents and faithfulness to warn and to lead and to love. And oh, could it please thee to bless thy word richly among us as a congregation, and that thou thyself may glorify thy own name in the hearts of each and every one. Could it please thee also to strengthen us, that we may do the labors of our hands in the midst of this our flock? O Lord, help us in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou give us the unction of thy Spirit in a rich measure? And wilt thou give thy word to burn in our heart the matters, that we may have words to speak unto this our flock? And that thou thyself would speak, Lord, do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 40, stanzas 3 through 6. The fear of the Lord is most clean. Forever unmoved it has stood. His judgments are perfectly true. In all things, most righteous and good. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Operating Fund, Psalter 40, stanzas 3 through 6. beloved congregation, there was a moment that proud Haman turned pale from fright. What moment was that? That was when he was accused before the king. What made him so afraid? That was the consciousness of his own guilt. Are you conscious of your own guilt? Then there is coming a time for us also where that we will be accused before the king. Will we then be in that day as Haman? What is the great privilege of the true church of God? That is, that they may be forgiven all their sin by the perfect satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there is for them no reason that they need to fear to stand before their judge. What man in the whole world would not desire such a benefit? That they would not have to fear to depart out of this world. That is the common desire of all men. Even those who do not believe that there is a heaven, they desire at least that they may be annihilated so that they have not to stand with guilt before their judge. But this privilege that is flowing out of the death of Christ, and it is given to them only who are united to Him by a true faith, a great privilege. And we have spoken of that privilege last time, according to the instruction of our fathers. But our fathers also say more. Lord's Day 16 continues also with question 43. Lord's Day 16, question 43. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So far, our Lord's Day for this afternoon. A further benefit received from the sacrifice and death of Christ. First, the old man crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. Second, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued. And third, self-offered as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A further benefit received from the sacrifice and death of Christ. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? First, the old man crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. That by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him. Second, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us. And third, self-offered as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What further benefit? What is a benefit? A benefit that is, well, that is an advantage, that is something that we may receive, that may be that we receive it by way of a gift, a benefit, or that we may receive it as part of our wages, because as an employee, then it is possible that we receive, young people, our pay, but that in addition to our pay, and that we receive also certain benefits. But here, then we speak about benefits that are spoken of in the Word of God. And the Word of God that is speaking about benefits and that are flowing out of Christ. That is, benefits that are flowing in the way of mercy, that are flowing in the way of grace to a people who in themselves do not deserve them. And we heard of one of those benefits, that is the benefit of justification. That is, that a man is made to be right with the law, and that there is no accusation that is rightly able anymore to come against that people. Thus, we have heard about that benefit, and our fathers, they now speak about a further benefit. Thus, the union with Christ that brings not only one benefit, but it is a union which brings so many benefits, a multitude of benefits. Our fathers, they have spoken about justification, but we have heard in this morning and that there are also others, because we heard in a special way about the benefit, for example, of regeneration. Thus, the benefits, they are very, very many. And if the Lord will give us, by a true faith, to behold by faith even one of those benefits, then our heart sinks away under the greatness of those benefits to those who do not deserve them. And one day, then God's church is going to come to know and to enjoy that multitude of benefits that we can read, eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man to conceive. What further benefits? Thus, our fathers, they are speaking about one benefit at a time. Thus, one more benefit, further benefit than justification, which is already such a great benefit. And now, the Lord shows this benefit, which is what we would call a distinguishing benefit. A distinguishing benefit. What do we mean by that? Well, it is a benefit, the desire for which is distinguishing between the true work and the false work. The desire for which benefit is distinguishing between a hypocrite and that true church of God. It is necessary that there be distinguishing. Why? Because everything is not gold that glitters. And you and I have one soul and one life, one opportunity between the cradle and the grave, and no more. Thus, we cannot make a mistake. We cannot make a mistake with our life to think that we are upon that way and to be deceiving ourselves in that way. If the Lord gives us that new heart that we have heard of in this morning, children, then we will desire the most searching marks in order that we may know, am I His or am I not? Balaam. Was Balaam taught of the Lord? There was a man who had a certain religion. But there was a man who had no love for the Lord and no love for his people. There was a man whose treasures were the riches of this world and who had no treasure in heaven. But what do we read of this man? We read that he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me die the death of the righteous." Thus, that belonged to a man, a desire that belonged to a man who had no love for God and no love for his people. Let me die the death of the righteous. There is no one that wants to be punished. There is no one that wants to go to hell. And so that desire for justification, that there would be no accusation that can rightly come against me, that I may be able to stand without fear before my judge, that desire for justification, that is not a distinguishing mark between the hypocrite and the true church of God. Because that is something that belongs to all men. Everyone desires that justification. Let me die the death of the righteous. But it is a very different thing if a man desires to live the life of the righteous. That is now a mark which is distinguishing. That is now a mark that Balaam did not have. Thus we may ask ourselves, not whether we want and desire only the death of the righteous, but do I also desire in my heart to live the life of the righteous? That is now what our fathers are speaking about in this question. What further benefit, they call it a benefit, will you also call it a benefit, young people? What our fathers here are calling a benefit? What is it that they are calling a benefit? They say that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified. That is our beloved catechism. That was not a dream of Ursinus and Olivianus, but that catechism that is being drawn by them directly out of the experience that is written in the Word of God. Do you love that catechism? Because of this, do you find also your own life sometimes written in the words of our beloved catechism? Our old man. Is that from the Bible? We'll say, children, we just read it, didn't we? We just read it in this hour that was directly here out of this portion, because Paul, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old man. What is that? Our old man. Well, an unregenerate man, he knows nothing about an old man. Why not? Because he knows nothing about a new man. And if we know no new man, how then can we distinguish and know that there is also an old man? If there is no new man, then actually we are all old men. Then we are only one man. But in that new life, then the Lord is giving a new man. He is born. So now there is not only one man, but Paul says by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord that there are now two men. There is an old man, and there is a new man. That is very well known by the people. In whom has come that new man? How do they know that? Boys and girls, when in your house, there would be always quarreling and always fighting, then your mother and your father would know very well that you are there. Then there is nothing there but misery. We hope that is not the way in your house. But when there is an old man and a new man in a person, then it is very, very well known by them. Why? Because there is always fighting. Because there is always quarreling. Why? Because that old man and that new man, they do not agree. They cannot agree. What is that when the Lord converts a person? How mistaken that a person can be in his thoughts when he would say that the Lord, he would ask you, do that, right, children, like we heard this morning. Oh, Lord, give me a new heart. Then you are asking, Lord, give me also that new man. We have then in our thoughts maybe such a wrong idea of what that life is like when there is a new man in addition to that old man. Rebecca, she became heir of the promise of the Lord because that promise was through Isaac. And she may be married to Isaac. And when the Lord began to fulfill that promise in her, so that within her was conceived that promised seed, and we can read that Rebecca, she did not understand what was going on inside of her own womb. Why not? Because there was there a struggle. There was there no peace. She had not expected this when the Lord would fulfill that promise concerning that seed. And in her perplexity, she went to the Lord. Do you do that too? As she went upon her knees, and she says, Lord, if it be so, if this is now thy work, if this is now the fulfillment of thy promise, why, she says, am I thus? Why is there no rest? Why is there no peace? Why is there always a struggle? Why is it that there is as a warfare within me? Do you know that question of Rebecca? Because if the Lord will give in our life that new man, then it goes so different than that we had thought. When we had thought to go from strength to strength. But what does Christ say? He says the Son of Man is not come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. That is war. That is war within myself. And when that people are complaining, then that living complaint is heard among the people of the Lord, and they in themselves, they are rejoicing. Why? Because they say, that is now the complaint of the militant church. That by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified. Crucified. What does that mean? To be hung on a tree. That is now the desire of that new man. That old man, he would be crucified, that he would be hung on a tree, and that he would be dead, and that he would be buried. That is now, young people, what they would consider to be a great benefit. You too. Well, you say, what is that old man? Yes, what does that old man represent? That old man, that is a life of sin. What does Paul say here? He says, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You ask to be saved. What do you ask to be saved from? What is that? Salvation. Salvation that is to be delivered from the greatest evil. That is to be brought to the highest good. What is the greatest evil? You say punishment. No. The greatest evil, that is sin. and our highest good, that is God. But that greatest evil is not to that old man's sin. That old man, he says, the greatest evil, that is punishment. When does sin become the greatest evil? Sin becomes the greatest evil when that new man is born. Then he has a desire to be rid of sin. He has much to learn. Because how he goes to work. With the strength of his hands in order to rid himself of that sin. And the Lord will make and knows how to make in his own time his own son necessary, precious, suitable in the life of that people. Thus, they desire not only justification, that they may receive a right to God's kingdom, but they desire also sanctification. And what is sanctification? That is actually the beginning of that deliverance. The beginning of that deliverance from sin. That is the benefit. Would that be a benefit, young people, children? Would that be a benefit to you? If you say, oh, if I could only live a holy life. If only I could live a life that was without sin. That I could be like actually, yeah, like unto God. That is how we were created. In His image, knowledge, righteousness, holiness, holiness, to be delivered from sin. How is that with the desire of the hypocrite? Well, it is enough for him to die the death of the righteous. He has no desire to be delivered from sin. No, it is just the opposite. He says, let me live out my life in sin, if only that I may go to heaven when I die. That is the hypocrite. And therefore we say that the desire for this further benefit, that is a distinguishing desire. We may lay that every one of us next to our own heart. Whether that desire that lives in the smallest part of it within our heart. Or we can all be like Jehu, that in front of everyone else, then we say, come and see my zeal for the Lord. But in our heart, we are not upright. In our heart, we have no hatred for sin, and sin has never become our enemy, and we have never desired truly to be delivered from it. Here is the difference with our work of the Spirit of the Lord. We see that further in our second thought, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross, that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us. May no more reign in us. It doesn't say that the corrupt inclinations of the flesh do not exist in us anymore. It does not say the corrupt inclinations of the flesh are gone. It doesn't say that they do not live there, that they are not there. Because if that was so, that would contradict the entire Word of God. When we see the corrupt inclinations of the flesh of David and the corrupt inclinations of the flesh of Solomon and the corrupt inclinations of the flesh of Peter, as long as that church is on earth, then the corrupt inclinations of the flesh remain. But what does it say? It says that our corrupt inclinations may no more reign in us. Reign. When we say reign, children, who reigns? Say king reigns. That is right. King reigns. What does it mean for a king to reign? You say a king, the king is sovereign, right? He may receive advice from one or another person, advisors, if he is wise, but he does just as he pleases. No one can say to him, "What doest thou?" The king, he does his own will. He reigns. So it is when there is no new man. When there is only one man. When there is only an old man. Then the corrupt inclinations of our flesh, they reign in us. Why? Because there is no one to stop them. There is no one that can come against them. There is only one man. You say, well, we have a conscience. Yes, that is true. What do you do with your conscience? Then we have a question. Has your conscience won? That battle, if you say there is a battle between my conscience and that old man, makes you miserable, doesn't it, young people? That conscience can do what you want. But has he won? So that you are doing then according to your conscience. How strong is the love of sin, isn't it? It is greater than your conscience, isn't it? And those corrupt inclinations of your flesh, they are there despite your conscience, aren't they? Because that conscience that cannot win against the love, the love of the old man for sin that is living in your heart. And it is very, very powerful. And it will not be rent away from all its desires. But we only have a rebuke again and again, so that as we go on in those sinful inclinations, then we cannot do it with a complete rest, but that we are more and more stepping on it, so that we can try to go on easier and easier. But do you know what that conscience is not? That conscience is not the new man. There is no love in that conscience. There is no heart in it. It is only a rebuke. And it is not something that is dwelling in the heart. If, parents, you are only threat to your children, without love, then what will happen? will you win? Oh, that love of sin that is so very strong. No, that conscience that is not the new man. But when that new man comes, that new man is also love. The old man that is love for sin, that new man that is love for whom, children? Can you tell me? The new man that is love for God. Thus, as Comrie says, it is not a struggle between the mind and the heart. He says it is a struggle directly in the heart, between two loves, the love for the Lord of that new man and that old man who is still drawn, those sinful inclinations still living in the heart of God's children. But what do our fathers say? They're not gone, but that they can no more reign. No more reign. They do not have the full say anymore. Why? Because there is in the heart an effective enemy. An enemy that is more effective than the conscience. It is the enemy of a new love. An enemy of love to God against the love for sin. So that even when there is no outward commission, but when the heart is spilling forth the mire and the dirt, the sinful inclinations are experienced day by day, that there is a mourning, that there is going over this earth, bowed down, weighed down, under those sinful inclinations that are cleaving unto me. But thereby, those sinful inclinations have lost their freedom. Because that effective enemy, though he may seem so weak, he is living there also in that heart. Let us sing. Psalter 386, 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 386. that our corrupt inclinations may no more reign in us. That is, that they may have no more dominion, that they will not be king. What was the answer of the Lord to Rebekah when she went unto him about that warfare that was in her womb? And we read that the Lord answered her, and he said that there are two nations in your womb, and that there are two manner of people, that the one that was stronger than the other, but that the elder should serve the younger. That is, that the greater should serve the smaller, the lesser. So it was. Because the Edomites, the children of Esau, possessed Mount Seir, and they were very strong. But the Israelites, they were strangers in the land of Canaan. They were slaves in the land of Egypt, and they were wanderers in the wilderness. But the Edomites, they became subject to the Israelites. Jacob prevailed, and the descendants of Jacob, they did eventually inherit the land, and they put the Edomites to tribute. Two nations, people of the Lord. Two manner of people. You know what that is? Two manner of people. The one is the elder. The one was first. And that elder, that first one, then he seems so often to be the stronger. How many times do you not fear that that elder, he shall overcome that younger? Because that new man, he seems so often to be so weak, and that old man to have the preeminence. Then you say, if there is yet a new man, then he seems to be but a sojourner in the land. But what is the promise of the Lord? And we heard in this morning, the Lord says, I will. Therefore, we read the Lord says to Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger. How is that possible? Well, Jacob did not overcome Joseph in his own strength, but it was the promise of the Lord. And it was the fulfillment of the Lord himself that gave Jacob the preeminence. Church is so weak. It is so weak also in the way of sanctification. That was the complaint of the Apostle Paul when he said, O wretched man that I am. But out of that side of Christ, there came forth for that church not only blood, but also water. Not only for their justification, but also for their sanctification. And therefore, what do our fathers say? Is that work that is left unto the church of God, that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Lord knows how to receive the honor from those who have departed from Him. The Lord knows in His own time how that He will receive all the glory, that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. By nature, it is just the opposite. What do we have for the Lord? Anything? How was it in the week that has gone by? Was there anything in our life? Was there anything in our heart that was for the Lord? What is it, boys and girls? When we are honest with ourselves, then we say it is all for me, and it is all about me. What if it was now just the other way around? That it was everything in my life that was for the Lord, and it was after the Lord. The Lord Jesus gave Himself as a sacrifice for His church, in order that His church may, by the Spirit of the Lord, offer themselves as a sacrifice again to Him. No, not like the heathen that did give their children in sacrifice by way of merit. Oh, there is altogether too much of this merit that is lingering in the life of God's children. But our fathers speak about a sacrifice of thanksgiving that has nothing to do with merit. A sacrifice. For what? What do they sing? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me? If faith may only be given to see the smallest part of those benefits, then there is in the heart a desire for this sacrifice of thanksgiving. There is no end to the benefits. Regeneration, justification, sanctification, it is a complete redemption. In Him able to stand on that last day without fear, having a right from the Lord Himself to enter into that kingdom of heaven. In Him made able and fit to return into that blessed communion of that holy God, in and of themselves sinful, wretched, but in Him washed, cleansed, and clothed with a righteousness that is without spot before the blessed Father. Or if they may have only a little sight of those benefits, what is now left for that people to do? That is not to justify themselves anymore. No, they cannot justify themselves. And it is also not to make themselves one whit holier, because it is a flesh that is full of sinful inclinations. It is all impossible. And yet it is all accomplished so free, so fully, so completely from another side. And therefore, what is now left for that people but to offer themselves as a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. A people, they have forfeited everything. And they continue to forfeit everything. And yet they receive everything. Oh, shall they live then for one more day, for one more hour, for one more moment unto themselves, for themselves? The Gibeonites, oh, they were ready to be hewers of wood and drawers of water for that house of the Lord. They were Hebrew servants. They were ready to have their ear bored to the door with an awl. Out of what? Out of love to their master. That we may offer ourselves, our whole life, our thoughts, our words, our daily actions, ourselves, our children, our families, our labors, everything, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. How much is there not for that church to be ashamed of? And yet a desire that is living in the heart of that people. And one day that desire that is going to be so completely perfected, never interrupted, world without end, congregation, the corrupt inclinations of our flesh. Is that strange language to us? Do we mourn because of the corrupt inclinations of our flesh? Do not speak about outward sin, because that is easy by comparison to put it away. But the corrupt inclinations of our flesh, is there a burden in your heart? Because they remain. If not, then we do not know the warfare. And then we have never become part of that church militant. How then can we ever become part of that church triumphant? Jabez, he prayed, Lord, keep me from the evil. Keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. That is the people. That is the desire that is going to be fully fulfilled. Is it also your desire? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou art the searcher of our hearts. Thou knowest whether this desire, in the smallest part, may be truly living within. And whether that old man still has full reign, or whether there has come a new man and a new love. Or if not, wilt thou begin with us? And wilt thou work that regeneration that we have heard of in this morning hour? For thou sayest, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we have heard that thou wilt do it. O Lord, we inquire of thee for this, for us and our children. Thou alone can do it. Lord, we ask it of thee. In all our shortcomings and with all our guilt, thou may do it for the sake of thy only begotten Son, for thy glory, for the coming of thy kingdom in our midst, and for our salvation, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 321. How blessed the perfect in the way, who from God's law do not depart, who holding fast the word of truth, seek him with undivided heart. 321, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.